a study of clinical profile of malaria at KMC Hospital, Attawar. Introduction. Malaria, a most serious vector-borne disease, is one of the major causes of illness and death in tropical and subtropical regions of the world. In addition to the direct effects it exerts by increasing premature mortality and morbidity, it is responsible for considerable economic wastage owing to lost manpower and treatment costs. These constitute a serious impediment to the economic development of countries in which the disease is endemic. The Plasmodium species have staged a devastating global comeback by imposing an alarming burden on the healthcare system. The worldwide prevalence of malaria is estimated to be approximately 300 to 500 million clinical cases each year and is endemic in 101 countries. It remains the world's most important tropical parasite disease and kills more people than any other communicable disease except tuberculosis. Malaria has an estimated mortality of 1 million per year. Although there had been a decline in total number of cases in India, Plasmodium falciparum registered a significant increase. The mortality in malaria is due to Plasmodium falciparum. The epidemiological situation of malaria has shown a gradual deterioration in India. There has also been a quantum jump in the incidence of falciparum cases of malaria. It has also become apparent that chloroquine resistance of malaria has become a global problem. It's perhaps one of the most important cases of malaria resurgence and needs update studies in all states of India. This will help to form the effective therapeutic strategies to control its associated mortality and morbidity. The mortality and morbidity associated with malaria has been held in check by the widespread availability of cheap and effective anti-malarial drugs. However, the development of resistance to these drugs may represent the significant important threat to the health of the people in tropical countries. Awareness of atypical presentation is important to detect cases of malaria in endemic areas. India being a vast country with different geographical regions, the pattern of the disease may vary from one place to the other. The present study was undertaken to study the clinical features, complications, and response to treatment in a tertiary care hospital. Methodology. A prospective analysis of adult patients suffering from malaria was carried out at KMC Hospital, Attawar, during the year 2002-2003. Both males and females were included in the study. The diagnosis of the patients was based on clinical features and by peripheral smear. The mode of presentation, clinical course, treatment history, laboratory investigation reports, anti-malarials administered, response to therapy and complications were recorded. Fever clearance period was defined as the number of days required for the abatement of fever after starting the anti-malarials. Response to treatment was noted both clinically and also by repeating peripheral blood smear examination. Sensitivity to chloroquine was noted as per the WHO guidelines for extended field tests. Chloroquine resistance has been defined as the ability of the malarial parasite to survive and or multiply despite administration and absorption of the drug given in doses equal to higher than usually recommended but within the tolerance of the subject. It has been observed that if the features of malaria and slight positivity reappear within 2 weeks of treatment, the condition can be called recrudescence due to resistance. If the features recur between 2 to 4 weeks, it may be due to either relapse or recrudescence. If the features occur after 4 weeks, it's most probably due to relapse. Statistical analysis was done by chi-square tests. Results. Out of the 54 patients, 39, that is 72.22% were males and 15, that is 27.77% were females in the age group 17 to 65 years. Sex-wise distribution of patients is statistically significant, p is equal to 0.025. Females present in all patients, statistically high significant, that is p less than 0.001. The duration of fever was around 2 to 7 days. 51.55% of the patients complained of headache and 31.55% had vomiting. Jaundice was observed in 11, that is 20.37% patients. Cough was also a complaint in 4 patients. Symptoms of gastritis were seen in 2 patients and 2 other patients had diarrhea. Anemia was present in 20 patients, that is 37.03% in addition to fever. All other presenting symptoms are statistically not significant. Out of the 54 patients, 31.48% had infection with Plasmodium falciparum, 33.33% with Plasmodium vivax and 29.62% had mixed infection. 3 patients received empirical treatment without the smear being positive. Distribution of species is not statistically significant, that is P is equal to 1. Recurrent infections were observed in 7 patients and 2 patients had recrudescence. Chloroquine resistance was seen in 9 patients. Complications were seen in 10 patients. The complications are cerebral malaria in 1 patient, pancreatitis in 1 patient, derangement of liver function in 5 patients, renal impairment in 1 patient, and thrombocytopenia in 2 patients. Incidence of complications was statistically not significant. P is equal to 0.20. There was no death reported in the present study. All the patients responded to treatment. Patients with chloroquine resistance received other antimalarials. The average duration required for smear negativity, that is parasite clearance time, was 3 to 5 days and the average fever clearance period was 2 to 5 days. Apart from chloroquine, quinine was given to 5 patients, artemether to 12 patients, pyrimethamine sulfadoxine combination to 17 patients. 16 patients also received doxycycline. The discussion. The considerable morbidity and mortality in falciparum malaria is mainly due to its protein manifestations, multi-organ involvement and delay in diagnosis and failure of administration of treatment promptly and adequately. The emergence of gradually spreading drug resistance adds to the seriousness of the problem. It is important for the clinician in tropical countries to be alert to the symptoms and signs that may progress to the life-threatening disease of falciparum malaria. Awareness of atypical presentation is important to detect cases of malaria in endemic areas where a careful search for the malarial parasite in the peripheral blood film should be undertaken in all the patients demonstrating clinical problems. The clinical suspicion alone can be the basis of an effective anti-malarial drug. A study from Jamshedpur and Jharkhand state of India has described the atypical presentation of falciparum malaria comprising convulsion in 28.55%, abdominal pain in 5.7%, hemiplegia in 2.8%, generalized weakness and palpitation in 5.5% of the cases. In the present study, patients demonstrated atypical symptoms such as cough, diarrhea and gastritis. The sequence of erythrocytes containing metabolically highly active parasites in the vascular beds of internal organs can explain almost all the pathological events in severe and complicated falciparum malaria. Malarial parasite also induce the release of cytokines, initiating many of the symptoms and signs of malaria. Anemia is an important cause for high morbidity and mortality in falciparum malaria. Pathogenesis of anemia and malaria is multifactorial, a complex chain of pathological processes involving parasite-mediated RBC destruction, marrow suppression, and accelerated removal of non-parasitized RBCs have also been implicated. In one study from Orissa, 86.7% had anemia and 10% had severe anemia. The present study demonstrated anemia in 20, that is 37.07% patients. Two of our patients had decreased platelet count. Thrombocytopenia is a common observation in falciparum malaria with spontaneous recovery on treatment. The mechanism suggested includes DIC or exclusive removal of platelets by the reticuloendothelial system.
The present study showed hyperbilirubinemia in 11 patients. Hyperbilirubinemia in falciparum malaria results from intervascular hemolysis of parasitized RBCs, hepatic dysfunction and an element of microangiopathic hemolysis due to DIC. Cerebral malaria is an important complication of falciparum malaria. Cerebral malaria was seen in one of the patients in the present study. The onset of coma may be sudden, often following a generalized seizure of gradual initial drowsiness, confusion, disorientation, delirium or agitation followed by unconsciousness. Chloroquine remains the drug of first choice in falciparum vivax malaria because of its low cost, good tolerance, suitability for pregnant women and young children, and easy availability. Plasmodium vivax resistant to chloroquine can pose a significant treatment problem because mefloquine and halofantrine, although effective, had not been studied in large number of vivax patients. Mefloquine, though marketed, is expensive as compared to chloroquine. Sulfadoxine pyrimethamine, which works well against chloroquine-resistant Plasmodium falciparum, is inexpensive but less efficacious against Plasmodium vivax. Pregnant women and children with resistant Plasmodium vivax pose yet another problem. Quinine is difficult to administer and primaquine is contraindicated in pregnancy. Malaria is a threat to almost half the world's population, and the presence of MDR strains of falciparum pose a significant health problem. This problem has been further compounded by the emergence of chloroquine-resistant strains of Plasmodium vivax from several parts of the world, including India. Chloroquine resistance was observed in 9 patients in the present study. The cause of growing chloroquine resistance, especially in falciparum malaria, may be a result of the use of the drug in suboptimal doses or by prophylactic use of the drug in people living in the endemic zone or genetic mutation of the parasite. Therefore, suboptimal dose of prophylactic use amongst population living in the endemic zone is not recommended except in travellers from the non-endemic to the endemic zone. Simultaneously, early detection of chloroquine resistance and prompt and effective management are the key to the cure of the disease and preventing transmission of chloroquine resistance in the community. Several drugs are currently available to treat chloroquine-resistant malaria. The common amongst them are quinine, sulfadoxine pyrimethamine combination, mefloquine, armicinine and its derivatives, halfantrine and certain antibiotics. Resistance to quinine and sulfadoxine pyrimethamine combination is now widespread, though the former is often used as a first-line drug in severe complicated malaria. Armicinine and its derivatives are safe and effective drugs. Compared to quinine, they shorten the fever clearance time by 17%, that is 7.7 hours, and parasite clearance by 32%, that is 19.8 hours. However, the recrudescence rate is high, up to 50% when they are used as monotherapy. A two-pronged approach is being used to tackle Plasmodium resistance. This includes the use of judicious combination of the existing drugs along the lines used in tuberculosis or leprosy and the development of new anti-malarial drugs. Among the new anti-malarials that have been developed are artemisinin derivatives. It's quite possible that artemisinin and its derivatives such as art ether are a great impetus today. This is because they represent, besides quinine, a major therapeutic option for the treatment of multi-drug-resistant severe malaria. Above all, in the era of rapidly emerging resistance, it is imperative that physicians prescribe artemisinin derivatives rationally only to patients who really require it to prevent resistance from developing secondary to indiscriminate use. Indiscriminate use of drug has given a new dimension to the situation. Combination chemotherapy is indicated to increase the efficacy and to delay the appearance of resistance. Antibiotics such as tetracycline, doxycycline, erythromycin and newer macrolides and clindamycin can be combined with chloroquine, quinine or other anti-malarial drugs. Malaria continues to be a major public health problem. Injudicious use and inadequate dosage of available drugs need to be curbed. There is an inescapable need to develop new anti-malarial drugs. To achieve the global aim of malaria control, we must carry out an epidemiological survey spreading over different areas of the country. The task would be to monitor progression of resistance while planning an effective anti-malarial strategy.